Sam from the future here. I'm trying to be good and record the show and then immediately after recording the show, put it out rather than wait because of things happening and wanting to be timely and all that. And it was getting really annoying recording on Wednesday night and not getting it out until like Saturday. But this last time we recorded on Thursday night and I fell asleep. And I'm like trying to get it out before going to work on Friday morning. But even though it is only 14 hours since since we recorded the show, there is big breaking news. I just got news alerts as I'm putting together the damn show. US grand jury charges 13 Russian nationals and three Russian entities accused of violating US criminal laws in order to interfere with US elections and political processes. This is from the Mueller investigation. This is obviously big news. We recorded the show 14 hours before that came out, so we won't be talking about it. Sorry. We'll talk about it next week, when undoubtedly we'll have a lot more information. Again, assuming that other breaking news doesn't overwhelm this. But this seems like a pretty big development in the Mueller probe. Anyway, on with the show we actually recorded. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, February 16th, 2018. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here. Yay. Hi, Yvonne.
Hello, everybody.
So, sound wonderful there.
Oh, I'm fantastic. I'm superb.
So we've had a fairly news-heavy week, so we've decided we're not going to do our usual just intro bullshit segment where we talk about how our weeks went and all that kind of stuff. I'll give you the agenda, and then we'll basically jump right into it. So the agenda is going to be, hey, we're going to talk school shootings. We're going to talk about the security clearance situation at the White House, and we're going to talk about the budget slash immigration debate that has, the budget stuff is kind of wrapped up and the immigration stuff was tied together. Those are going to be our three main topics. And I know I said no intro bullshit segment, but right before we started, Yvonne decided we do want to talk just for a couple minutes about this Stormy situation. Because
Stormy!
Because I was mentioning, the new development on this. Well, there are two new developments this week, but one of them was the lawyer came out, Trump's lawyer, what's his name, Cohen? I forget his first name, but whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Irrelevant. Doesn't matter. Whatever.
He came out with an official statement basically saying, now, the news articles.
Now, here's a question. Why did he come out with the freaking official?
He came out with a statement because certain public advocacy groups were. I forget the exact mechanism, whether they were suing him or whether they were just. They were asking the Federal Election Commission to look into whether his payment of Stormy Daniels constituted an in-kind donation to Donald Trump and had not been properly reported as an election contribution, because it might have been, above the limits that were allowed or whatever. There are all kinds of.
So that's what precipitated.
There were all
that
kinds of election law things that might have been implicated, he put out a statement. And the New York Times and others reported it as he admits to paying the $130,000, but says, Donald Trump had nothing to do with it. Okay? He did it out of the goodness of his own heart.
His heart. This is the most amazing, amazing attorney ever, and I guess I'm going to hire this man at some point if I get sued.
There you go. But the thing is, That's how it's reported. That's how the headlines were. But then I saw a whole bunch of people on Twitter, specifically a bunch of lawyers on Twitter, saying, "This is a lawyer. He's a sneaky ass lawyer. He had weeks to come up with this statement. Hey guys, consider reading the statement carefully." And there are two things that they pointed out. One is in the statement where he was saying that he was not reimbursed. He didn't say he was not reimbursed. He said he was not reimbursed by either...
Certain entities.
Well, yeah. Right. And he said
by certain entities.
He specifically listed... He said he was not reimbursed by either the Donald Trump organization or the Donald Trump campaign. Now,
that doesn't mean he didn't get reimbursed by anybody else.
That's right. He could have been reimbursed by Donald Trump writing a personal check. He could have been reimbursed by some other random organization paying on behalf of Donald Trump. He could have been been reimbursed by any number of different things. He very carefully did not say that he was not reimbursed. He said he was not reimbursed by either of these two entities.
Right.
Okay, that's number one. And number two, he didn't actually say he paid for it. He said he facilitated paying her out of his own pocket. And then a bunch of people pointed out, well, facilitating paying for it, that could mean that you got the check from Donald Trump, stuck it in an envelope, and you bought the stamp.
Gave it to her. Right.
He bought the stamp, so he's on the hook for the 55 cents or whatever, you know? Or maybe a couple bucks if he sent it FedEx. You know?
Yep.
So he did not say he paid the $130,000. He said he paid to facilitate the payment of $130,000. So, so basically, the statement says absolutely nothing one way or the other. It's just written in a way that makes it sound like he did. And it was good enough that, like, the New York Times, you know, put in their headline, lawyer admits paying the $130,000. That's not what he said.
Right.
You know, now, maybe he did. Maybe he didn't. But that's not what the statement actually says.
But that's not what the statement says. Yeah. Right.
So anyway, and the
go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say the other consequence of this is now Stormy and her lawyers are saying that because he put out this statement, the NDA is now thrown out the window and Stormy can say whatever she wants about her affair with Donald Trump. And oh, by the way, she kept a dress Monica Lewinsky style that they're going to get tested for Donald Trump's DNA.
Fantastic. Superb.
The one other thing I was going to say is, and this has been also, you know, I don't have any original thoughts. I'm just repeating things I hear elsewhere. But the big deal here potentially actually has nothing to do with this damn affair because, again, who the fuck cares? Donald Trump's known for screwing around on his wives. This was a number of years ago. For all reports, it was consensual. And yeah, he paid off the woman to not talk, but it was whatever, you know, there's potentially nothing directly, you know, nothing that's going to change anybody's mind about Donald Trump here, you know,
but
people pointed out this does give another place for the people investigating to look into the details of how the money's moving around. And maybe that those money trails also lead to other things. Sam from the future here. A few hours after Yvonne and I recorded, another article came out that's relevant to this. Not on Stormy Daniels, but on another woman. It's in The New Yorker by Ronan Farrow. Donald Trump, a Playboy model and a system for concealing infidelity that goes into another affair, but specifically what I was just talking about there, about tracing how Donald Trump goes about the cover-up, how he pays them off. In this case, the payoff was via the National Enquirer and Donald Trump's friends there, but just more in this pattern.
Well, yeah, one of the things that I had heard was that I was remembering that apparently one of the reasons why John Edwards wound up in a pickle legally like 10 years ago was because he wound up paying. So he got this girl knocked up and there was a payment.
And there was a payment to shut her up.
Right. And the payment had come from I can't remember. I think it was campaign money.
No, it's actually even more similar than this. I don't believe it came directly from campaign money. It came from another supposedly independent source, but right. then it was determined to be a payment in kind to the campaign because exactly. shutting this woman up was helpful to his campaign, I guess.
Exactly. And that's why I was thinking his legal hot water is because of that. More than the forget about the affair. Who cares?
So the detail about that, John Edwards was indicted for his attorney slash friend paying $200,000 in Riel Hunter's expenses in order to get her to cover up the affair.
Right. Exactly.
So it was a friend slash lawyer, you know, but yeah.
I mean, I don't have these kind of friends slash lawyers. I've been fleeced by every damn lawyer, you know, not fleeced in the sense that, I mean, not fleeced. I have had every damn lawyer has some have fleeced me, not all of them, but they've made me pay every damn dime that was coming their way for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen any of them settle or pay anything on my behalf like that. I just have the wrong lawyers,
Yvonne.
I got all the wrong lawyers is what I'm reading. Yeah. Fuck.
Okay. So yeah. I guess we did have an intro bullshit segment where we talked about Stormy.
Well, it is, you know, it's news. It's not about us.
True. But we'll avoid, you know, the other dozen or so things I have on my list that could fit into that category. Instead, let's just go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the latest school shooting. And, you know, I was a little bit torn about whether to include this or not, but it is the big news of the week, because I'm reluctant, because it seems like we always have the same things to say. But Yvonne was like, I might have something different. So let's take a break, and we'll talk about that in a second.
Facebook, Facebook, Facebook! Hey, do you want to help support Curmudgeon's Corner? Well, right now, the best way is through Facebook. If you haven't already liked us on Facebook and you actually, well, like us, then go search for Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook and like our page. It will help you see when we announce new episodes and it'll help us reach more new people too. If you like a particular episode, like our episode announcement post too, or share it with your friends. All of this helps spread the word about our podcast to more people who might like it as well. And of course, we love having a conversation with all of you listeners, so please use Facebook to leave comments on the shows, give us suggestions, or anything else like that. It's always great to hear from you. So if you want to help the show, use Facebook. Or forget all of that and just send us money.
Okay, we are back. So, Yvonne, let's start. I mean, anybody listening to the show, I'm sure, knows the rough outlines of what happened in Parkland, Florida. There was a school shooting. 17.
You
see
the
creeps
when you still say that it's Parkland, Florida, because it's just, this is like very extreme. I mean, my mother-in-law lives in Parkland. My wife's little brother has younger brothers. They went to school in Parkland. It's just, you say it and I get the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah. So 17 people were killed. A former student came in, shot up the place, killed a bunch of people. There are still some people in serious condition in the hospital, so hopefully that death toll won't go any higher, but you never know. But there's a number of seriously injured people on top of the 17 dead. Yep. And so, Yvonne, as you said, I mean, this one... Yeah, we seem to have these all the time, but this one's particularly close to you. You're just a few miles away, I gather. So let me hand it over to you for a second and give me your thoughts, especially with it being so close.
you know, look, it's like the one thing that when you get we were talking about being desensitized about these because they seem to be happening all the time, even though one of the things that I sent an article to point out is that there was somebody some organization grossly exaggerating how many of
people
them
people have been have quoting heard. People have been quoting 18 school shootings so far this year. But that is misleading because while it may be technically true that there were shootings
according to their criteria,
but the key part is their criteria did not. There have only been three where someone was actually injured or killed. Their criteria come from anything on school grounds, after hours, during school, whenever that a firearm is set off, whether it be and whether or not anybody was injured. So it includes situations of like, you know, kids going to the school and, you know, firing off a few shots on the school grounds after hours, not at anybody, etc. So there are a number of situations there. And okay, yeah, there was a shooting on school grounds.
Included, like somebody that went like drove to the parking lot and committed suicide in the parking lot.
Well, that too, at least someone was hurt in that one.
But there was nobody. It was when the school was not in session. Nobody was in school. This guy just, oh, look, there's an empty parking lot. Let me go over here and kill myself.
Yeah. Well, and like at least isn't the right terms. But, you know, in that case, at least I'm using it again. In that case, someone was hurt. Some of the instances in the 18.
Somebody was hurt. Yes.
In some of the instances of the 18, no one was even hurt. No one was even in danger.
Right.
It was just someone improperly using a firearm in the middle of the night on school grounds, which, okay, they shouldn't do, but it's an exaggeration to call it a school shooting.
Right.
I mean, it's not what people think of when they hear the word school shooting. Okay, so go ahead. Even though we've been desensitized.
I mean, it's just, you know, it happens in a place that I've been to so often. I mean, I see that school. I mean, when I used to have to drive to the office, I drove past that school every day. It's right off the highway that I take to go to work. Actually, I have to drive there all the time still because when I go to visit my parents' house, I have to drive by that school all the time. So it just felt really very to see a lot of people in the community, the people at my son's school, we're all very shaken. Obviously, my son's school is, you know, relatively close to that one. I was actually talking about school security. So we have a very large Jewish population here, and some of those schools have gotten over the years a lot of threats. And so my son for a while used to go to a school that was nearby. That was a Jewish school that because of that, they actually had metal detectors at the entrances, and they actually had ex-military, ex-Mossad people that actually guarded the school grounds. And you could not get on the school grounds unless you were – for example, if I went to visit the school outside of the pickup hour or – actually, first of all, no. I had to get a sticker that registered my car that was authorized to go do the pickup. I had to be in a list of people authorized to do that. If I wanted to go visit the school, I had to be on a list that admitted me to go to the school. Otherwise, I could not get on the grounds. I could not get past the gate, for example, to that level of security.
But that's a private
the question
school,
that
right?
I got, that is a private school.
Yeah.
But the question that I've got like right now, look, some people were talking about, you know, we've been talking about gun control. And, you know, and I am for gun control. But at the same time, you know, one thing that a friend of mine who is on the conservative side of things told me, look, dude, but you could pass all the gun control you want right now. That's not going to stop the next school shooting. And you know what the thing he said is right.
Yeah.
And what I was thinking is that I was reading about certain people
talking about how
in certain inner city schools, they have extensive security. They used to lock them down, metal detectors, guards.
Right.
And I'm like, look, are we at the point that our schools need to increase their security to that level because of the threat? I mean, you just posted today a freaking moron that lived near you was planning a freaking massacre at a school near you.
So I was going to mention this as well. Here I live near Everett, Washington, and right essentially the same time as this thing was happening in Florida, There was a kid. Actually, lives only like two... according to the police report, they only live like two or three blocks from where my mother lives. And, you know, their grandmother found a journal where they were making detailed plans on how they were going to do a school shooting. And apparently the grandmother was concerned enough that they thought it was real. They thought they had the capability to actually pull it off, I guess. The grandmother called the cops on them. And the guy was picked up and arrested for attempted, I think it was attempted murder.
Yes, I thought what I read in the article said attempted murder, yes.
Yeah, so, and you know, who knows how close this kid was to actually doing it, or whether, if left alone, he would have done it. But this is exactly the kind of scenario where, you know, if they found, let's see, during a search warrant served at the residence, they found the journal, inert grenades, a cell phone. Well, everybody has a cell phone. Come on. And a high point 9mm carbine rifle. No additional information.
That's not good.
You know, now he apparently didn't have as much arsenal as some of these people have, but he had something.
But he was writing the plans and had started amassing weapons. You're like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, and so this one was caught, and it didn't happen, and great. I tweeted a couple times, thank you to the grandmother, you know, like, because, you know, that's got to be hard. Like, if you find your kid or your grandkid or
something.
I don't
know what the hell I would do if I'm the grandparent. I mean, I guess it would depend on what I knew about the kid.
Right.
And how much of a threat he was, or what, you know, what the issues were.
Well, because you can easily see, like, relatives will often be in denial. He's just joking around. Right. We've seen so many times in these cases, like, the friends and family even were like, oh, yeah, I saw that he had this, but I didn't think he'd ever actually do anything.
Well, look, the mom, apparently, of this kid over here, his mom apparently passed away a couple of months ago. The one in Florida.
Yeah.
Apparently, on a number of occasions, had called the police to try to talk some sense into him, is what I understood, because he was, like, a little bit loopy. But look, like, the family with, they saw that it bought these weapons. Oh, well, you need to keep it under lock and key. Well, that's, you know, I'm like, Jesus, I don't know. I know a lot of people. Well, he was old enough to own such a gun, but I'm like, look, the kid had been thrown out from school. The school was scared and had prohibited him from carrying, like, bags into school. There was apparently the reason was because they were afraid of him carrying weapons. I mean, this is not his situation.
He'd made comments on YouTube, and it was reported to the FBI.
Right. I mean, this guy couldn't have sent any more freaking warning flares, you know, I don't know how the hell else he could have sent another fucking warning flare up in the air.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you get some of these where you're like, oh, okay, that really was out of the blue. Usually you don't, to be honest. Usually there are plenty of warning signs. But sometimes, I mean, like, even the Vegas shooter one at this point, it's like, we still don't know what the hell was happening there, you know? But most of the time, you do have some warning signs. In this case, there were tons and tons and tons of warning signs. But at the same time, you look at that and say, okay, well, what do you do at what stage? You know, like, until the person's actually done something. I mean, we don't have pre-crime. You know, we have, you know.
We don't.
No. You know, the whole notion of, like, do you just say, hey, it looks like this guy potentially might be dangerous in the future. Is that enough to arrest him? Is that enough to forcibly commit him to psychiatric care? Is that enough deny him the right to buy a gun? And how do you determine that? And what's the appeal process? These are not easy questions. I mean, it's easy to look at this in retrospect and say, oh, yeah, tons of warning signs. They should have done something. Well, okay, what exactly should they have done?
Right. No, agreed. Yeah. I mean, well, they did do, well, in this case, they did try to do a whole bunch of things. They expelled the kid from school.
Yeah.
You know, they had actually posted warnings to people warning this kid could not come to school. Don't not just not let him in, but that he could not be carrying anything with him if he was coming in.
Right.
I mean, in this case, the warnings were And I'm like, and look, I understand, look, the situation that in terms of parenting, look, his father, stepfather had died 10 years ago. His mother just passed away. He was apparently living with a family that, you know, decided apparently to take him in, just, you know, to take him in because he had no family. Okay. He was adopted in the first place. And I think, you know, in this case of this kid, the reason why a lot of this fell through the cracks, some of this fell through the cracks had to do with the fact that he was in a very difficult life situation. Forget up, take outside the shooting itself, period. So,
well, and yeah. Unfortunately, like most of the times, and this is not to like avoid blame or anything, but most of the time when you find somebody who's done something like this and you look into their history, you do find out that they were fucked up in various ways and they had significant problems. And if, you know, if things had gone a different way and they'd gotten more support or something like that, then maybe it wouldn't have happened, you know? And that's just an argument towards, you know, having more mechanisms to support people anyway. I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, at what point would an intervention have helped, and how would you set up mechanisms to do that without also being overly invasive to other people? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, and you mentioned, you know, hey, gun control wouldn't stop the next school shooting. And you're fundamentally right. I mean, there are some things that might help a little bit here. Who knows? But for the most part, all gun control efforts, the result, and again, deja vu from every other time we've talked about this fucking issue, but for the most part, gun control would not necessarily help this specific type of situation. They would help all sorts of other situations. They would most likely reduce the incidence of suicide by gun. They would most likely reduce the sort of in the heat of the moment type of incidents.
Right.
If you just generally make getting a gun a little bit harder, then it would lower the number that were in circulation and therefore lower the number of people who had easy access to them and were able to do things. But for the determined person who really wants to do something where it's premeditated, like for the most part, gun control is not going to stop premeditated stuff. Because someone who really wants something is going to be able to get it one way or another. They'll jump through the hoops you put in front of them, or they'll get it illegally, or they'll, you know, download a kit to make one themselves. You know, there are all kinds of things. So if somebody's premeditating and really wants to do it, none of the gun control is going to stop a damn bit of that. What gun control does is sort of raise the bar for the easy access, which takes away this sort of layer of, you know, of gun violence that is not premeditated in that way. But that's part of the disingenuous of, like, whenever anything like this comes up and people are like, if only gun control. Well, gun control would help gun deaths in general, but not necessarily this kind of situation.
But the thing is that gun control is something that is more depends on how you implement it. It's a longer term solution. It's not a short term solution.
Nothing.
Because there's so many guns already out on the streets in the United States that even if I just shut down all frickin' gun sales tomorrow, there's hundreds of millions of guns out there anyway.
Right.
So it's not like I'm taking all these guns off the street. So I'm not doing that immediately. So that's a reality. So the question becomes, and this is why I brought the other question, is
security.
Do we need to make
every school a fortress?
Yeah. Well, we made it with an airport, with airports, right? How many billions did we not spend to secure airports?
Right. But, you know, there's a question even there, though. Like, with all of those type of events, you're really just moving the perimeter, right?
Well, I mean, you are, but look, it's a deterrent as well. I mean, look, I was saying today, look, this kid shows, if you're going to plan a shooting, right, there's a difference between these guys that this is a soft target that's completely undefended, right?
Right. But the thing is, they're always going to be...
I think that it's some of these morons that it gives them a lot more pause when, well, I ain't just going as a soft target. I have to go in through the teeth of a frickin' armed security to try to get to do this stupid thing I want
to do. Well, this school did have two armed guards, from what I was reading, and they'd had a single entrance. They had a whole bunch of things that were, sort of the top end of that kind of security. I mean, there could be more. There could be metal detectors. You could have five guards instead of two. You could have all kinds of stuff. But the problem with, making the soft targets hard is there are always more soft targets. You make the school hard to hit, they go to the mall. Or the park. You make it hard to get inside the school, listen, then they wait until they go out for, to the sporting event after school, You can't lock down everything.
Well, you can't. I agree. But for some reason, like right now, it's become, how do I say? The damn schools have become a target, right? They have. It's just... Where I don't know why the hell the kids romanticize I'm going to go down in a school shooting, and so that's part of the problem.
Well, there have apparently been enough of these now that there's non-trivial about amount of evidence that the copycat effect is real.
Like, yes, so therefore that's probably we need to do something in order to dissuade this continued copycatting at this point of this shit.
Yeah.
I'm throwing a new idea out there. Or a different idea.
The gun control fund, high levels of security for every public school in the country.
Sure. Why not?
One other thing I'll mention just as a small world kind of thing. And I won't read it directly because I haven't asked for permission, but, someone DM'd me right before we started recording this show. Someone who's been following me on Twitter, who I don't know personally, but who's been following me on Twitter for at least a year, maybe longer, maybe a couple years. But basically saying, hey, I went to that high school. I know people there. And they sort of thanked me for some of the stuff I tweeted and what I've said about these kinds of issues in the past. But, they're like, he didn't know somebody personally that was killed, but he knows people who has friends who lost family members. And it's just, you see that and you're like, it seems like it's all the way across, to you, it's like a couple miles away. To me, it's across the country. But nevertheless, boom, I have a connection. Somebody is emailing me who has a direct experience of what's going on there and who's been personally affected by this. And, you read the description of how, they're emotionally impacted by it because, it's right there. They know people, their friends, their family are directly impacted. And it really gets you. And I admit, like, on some of the coverage of this, I've gotten to the point where I just can't. I've listened to a little bit here and there, but I mean, I've for the most part been, I see that, okay, kids are giving these interviews, parents are giving these interviews. I don't want to listen to them all the time because I know. I mean, I listened to some on the drive home today, and instantly I'm in tears.
Yeah.
Because it's so impacting, and you hear these kids who were there, and you see, and at this point you see people retweeting kids who were there, tweets and Instagram posts and everything else that were done while the damn thing was going on. And then comments afterwards. There have been a whole bunch of ones people have been retweeting of, kids at the school, answering back Donald Trump and, things like that.
And Tommy Lauren and a whole bunch of...
And a bunch of other folks. But the most impacting ones are the ones where you just hear the kids, It's just a regular kid who went to school, and then this happened, and they talk about how scared they were and how their, you know, maybe their friend was killed or whatever, and it's like, it's just so awful to think about. And, you know, as a parent,
look,
I keep thinking about my kid, you know?
Let me tell you something. I had to, I wasn't sure. My wife's little brother is going to high school and lives in Parkland, and I wasn't sure which school he was going to. I heard about the shooting first, and I was like, oh, fuck. And I'm like, what the hell? And my first thing is, I didn't want to even tell her because I didn't want her to freak out.
Right.
And I first had to call my mother-in-law, which is a little bit more calm about these things, just to ask her, for the love of God, which school is he going to? And he said, no, it's not that school. I'm like, oh, God, thank God. Before I went to even tell my wife.
Right.
Because that was the first. I mean, I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, what? Yeah.
And to end on a positive note, because this is, of course,
on a positive note,
the one thing to also keep in mind, and this is also a repeat from every other school shooting we've had, if you've listened to the show long enough, the events where a bunch of people are killed at once get a lot of attention. And deservedly so. They're very traumatic events. They're very emotional events. But if you step back a little bit and just look at how many people are getting killed as a percentage of the population nationwide, the violent death rate, which includes murders and suicides and everything else,
is down. I know,
has been
way down.
On a dramatic downward trend ever since the 1970s. It peaked sometime in the late
70s. I was actually mentioning that to, yeah.
And we are, as a society,
but I
things
don't know
are
why
so
the
much
they...
safer than they were.
But why been, the hell are we taking, you know, the fucking schools? And the thing is, we got this teenage angst with these fucking kids to think going down in a blaze of bullets is a fucking great idea. I don't get it.
Well, you got some of that. You got some of the fact that things are just a lot more immediate given the improved communications we have today. I mean, there are a lot of factors that go into how much attention it gets. But I think it's important to note that even though it feels like everything is spinning out of control and there's so much violence and all these school shootings and blah, 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 you know, really, you know, for Yvonne, you and I are in our mid to late 40s at this point.
Late 40s.
Speak for yourself. You know, but the United States is safer from a violent crime perspective now than it's been at any point in our lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to remember that. The trend is going the right direction.
I know it is. Can you still explain to me this fucking Uber driver that apparently didn't notice the ridiculously large packages that he was hauling and didn't think it was odd he was dropping this guy off at a fucking high school?
Well, how ridiculously large were they? I haven't seen that reported. Or was it just
a
backpack?
He had a black duffel bag and a black backpack, and he's arriving, like, you know, with these big, I mean, an AR-15 is big, Sam. It's not a little thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess, you know, what do you think? It was sporting equipment, I guess.
Well,
I don't know.
Can you, disassemble it or fold it or something? Or I'm not familiar enough to know.
It had to be at a full length. No. That thing had to be at full length. So, but I guess he could have confused it with, say, lacrosse equipment or something like that, I guess.
He's just bringing sporting equipment to go do something at the school.
Right.
You know?
God, I don't want to be the fucking Uber driver. I want to fucking, like, you know, the awful feeling you got to have right now.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking guy didn't know.
No. I'm sure the guy didn't even think twice of it. I picked up a passenger with some bags. I let him off.
I know. Fuck.
Okay. So I was trying to end on a positive note. Crime is down Remember that, people. Violent crime is down. The trend is going the right direction. These events are aberrations, even though it seems like they happen all the time and they're very traumatic when they do.
It's
they
just
are aberrations.
Now all of a sudden it's just schools have become a fucking target for whatever the hell damn reason for this kind of shit. So
yeah. Okay, yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the security clearance situation in the White House. Back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, we are back. So apparently nobody at the White House has security clearances.
A big chunk of people. Now, here's a question.
Yeah.
And I didn't look at a good answer about this. How compared to previous administrations, how bad is this?
So I haven't seen a good breakdown with actual numbers. But from what I've seen from, you know, just interviews from people in previous administrations, they've said this is indeed highly unusual. The previous administrations have also complained about full security clearances taking too long. But more so for lower level people, this is a case where you've got
a lot of high level people. I know
you've got high level people as well who are given priority. They go to the top of the queue for getting the clearance things. And also, apparently what's actually been happening here isn't just, oh, the process is taking forever. Essentially the process has finished. You know, the FBI did all the research they were going to do, but the person wasn't going to pass. And so instead of just explicitly not passing them, they've provided the information to the White House, and then the White House needs to make a decision and blah, blah, blah. And the White House has basically been essentially just saying, an interim clearance is good enough. Let's not even worry about that.
This is the same people that campaigned on saying that Hillary mishandled, what was it? Classified information. Is that what it is?
Well,
but yet,
and look,
we've got a gang of fucking bozos that can't pass a security clearance. Like, you know.
Well, it's unclear. We don't have a complete spreadsheet with a breakdown of who's got in what situation. But for instance, we know that Jared, good old Jared Kushner, has not yet gotten his permanent security clearance. And on this one, we can pretty much put together why. He's under active investigation by Mueller. He is the subject of an active criminal investigation. He is not going to pass his security clearance.
Security clearance, ever.
You know, and this is probably also true of Ivanka. And this is probably also true of a half dozen other people. Like, you know, at the high level, this could be simply explained by none of them are getting their damn security clearance because Mueller's about to indict them.
Oh, man.
Now, that's going beyond what has been officially reported, but come on, guys. You know.
I mean, what the hell else? I mean, you know.
But also, even if there was no indictment there, for instance, one of the common causes... Apparently, somebody tweeted this earlier, and I didn't retweet them, so I can't bring it up quickly. But apparently, on the website of which organization handles the clearances, they actually have a public page where they break down like some of the reasons why people are declined. And the biggest reasons are unexplained foreign entanglements or relationships. Financial problems.
Ah.
So, like, for instance, it was reported within the last week or two that, again, Jared Kushner, his debt level is double what had previously been reported a year or so ago.
Yes, I had seen that, yes.
And so that alone could be a reason to deny a security clearance, because an excessive amount of debt that you may or may not be able to handle is a potential point of leverage of people against you.
And not just that, but who does he owe the money to?
Yes.
You know, because that subjects you to, you know, how do I say, basically somebody's pulling your strings, dude. You owe him a couple of $100 million. And he doesn't owe small amounts, which is the problem. This is, we're not talking, you know, a mortgage here.
Right.
But, you know, but apparently, you know, a regular Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac mortgage. We're talking serious dinero and a lot of bucks, too.
And so apparently the number that's been going around is 130 people in the White House staff as of November were still operating on interim security clearances and had not gotten their permanent clearances yet. Now, some of those may have gotten them since November. Some of them had been cleared for one level of clearance, but not for the higher level. But it all just sort of goes into the administration doesn't seem to. I mean, Don McGahn, the White House lawyer, is on this list of people who didn't have their full clearances. You know, it just.
But you know, it's just the whole thing about this is just continuously demonstrating every damn day the fucking hypocrisy of this damn administration in full force. How, you know, this campaign about, oh, all these people, but Hillary's emails, the classified information, the emails, and we have all these fucking people that can't pass a fucking security clearance handling classified information, probably. Right?
Well, definitely. Okay. I mean, Jared Kushner apparently is on the list who sees the president's daily brief.
Correct.
You know, so they're definitely seeing sensitive information. Now, are they doing anything bad with it? Who the fuck knows? You know, but maybe we're a little bit too twitchy about clearances anyway. I don't know. But I think
clearance is really, really just whatever. You know, what the hell? Who needs any of those, right?
In addition to what you were saying, though, I think it also just shows the administration, once again, they just don't care about the rules. And following the rules.
Right.
It's just not even on their radar. And of course, I've seen a bunch of right-wing folks posting that the reason they're having all this trouble is, of course, because the FBI is biased against Donald Trump. And so they're denying them the security clearances, not because there's any real reason, but because they just want to cause trouble.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm so sick and tired of these fucking right-wing people trying to discredit everybody. Listen, I'll just say that, you know, no entity, no organization, no agency is perfect, and that there is some partisanship and everything in a whole bunch of things. But, you know, I've met a lot of people that work in the agencies that these people are, attacking on a regular basis. And most of those people really take their fucking responsibility to the Constitution and to the country very seriously, despite whatever the hell political leanings they may have. And I am just really just fucking just flabbergasted. Just I hate these people that just tear them down just because they're not doing what they want them to do, because they just want to run this fucking thing like it's, you know, their shit show.
Well, and it's at the moment as well. I mean, because if you remember, Donald Trump and all those folks were absolutely thrilled when Comey came out with that letter against Hillary Clinton 10 days
absolutely.
Before.
Yes.
Look, and look, if anything, the FBI has had a historical bias on the conservative side, you know. So, like all of these people saying, you know, oh, they're the secret Democrats.
But the FBI is a big liberal fucking institution. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? What planet do you come from?
Comey's a Republican. Rosenstein's a Republican. Mueller's a Republican.
Schultz is a Republican. All Republicans.
Yes. All of these people that they're complaining about were all Republicans. Now, maybe they're never Trump Republicans. I don't know. But they're, the idea that they were all like Hillary lovers is just asinine.
Preposterous.
Now, so, okay. What do you do with this? Now that we know all this stuff about the security clearances, and by the way, it's exploded into the public consciousness because of the case of the wife beater that we talked a little bit about last week, and Kelly and how he dealt with him and all this kind of stuff. But it had been percolating for a while. I mean, I'd been hearing bits and pieces about how people were having trouble with their security clearances, and Kushner's name had been mentioned and a few others had been mentioned before this. It's just because of this one high profile case where they basically are saying, look, this guy was clearly failing his clearances because he had freaking restraining orders out on him for domestic violence. Why the hell didn't they like pull the plug on him a long time ago? Instead waiting for it to break out into the press.
Because they're fucking idiots. Is there any other good reason?
No. Good reason, I don't know. But I think a big part of it is also, I think they really, truly don't think it's a big deal.
No, they don't think anything's a big deal.
I mean,
it affects somebody else.
In the domestic violence case, in the...
In hawk to the foreigners, whatever. Criminal investigation, who cares? Right?
Yeah, because nothing matters except your personal loyalty to Trump.
Correct.
And maybe if you're getting something done, but I don't even think that really matters. Like, that doesn't, there's no point in this equation where how good you are at your job seems to come into it.
No, that's not really, that doesn't seem to be.
Because otherwise they would have already fired the whole mess of these people, because they all are just like.
Correct.
People have described it as, you know, Trump already started out with the C team. Because all the A and B players didn't want to have anything to do with him whatsoever.
Yeah, they didn't want even to remotely be close to him.
But he's been losing these people. So now what? We go to the D team?
Rate. They were showing a chart of the turnover in the first year at the White House under Trump compared to almost every other freaking previous administration, like of recent memory. They're like three times the turnover of like any of those. It's crazy.
And
those that haven't like been fired or turned over, apparently, or under indictment or whatever, have an investigation up their ass.
Well, the newest one I just saw like earlier today, Ajit Pai, the head of the FCC, is now under investigation for throwing some rule in favor of the Sinclair Group or something like that.
Correct. Yes. Yes.
It's like... Can we find any agency at all under Donald Trump that's not self-dealing in some way or another?
Apparently not. No.
I mean,
we had
did he have an investment in Sinclair or something, or does he just like him? I didn't actually read far enough.
Some inappropriate connection between them, but the bottom line is that, was it also the Health and Human Services guy investing in stocks that he was like pushing for legislation or some shit like that too also?
Oh, and there was one lower level person who was also still kept a second job as a PR rep in Mississippi or something. There was the director of the CDC.
The other day, where there was this asshole that went to Europe, and apparently somehow we paid the Veterans Administration secretary that went to Europe and apparently convinced the government to pay for his wife's ticket to Europe, $4,000 apparently, for a fucking security detail to accompany them to Europe, okay? By the way, he spent like over half the trip sightseeing. And I'm like, really? This is how these guys do business trips.
And who's
I wish I had money to fucking pay for my wife's ticket, and then I could go, oh, let me go for a 2-day trip to somewhere. Let me spend the, you know, 3 days on vacation and have, you know, expense it.
Right. And we also had that another cabinet secretary who was getting in trouble for taking first class flights now, that his excuse was, and originally it was security, but then later it sort of devolved into he had some unpleasant experiences in coach because people wanted to talk to him.
By the way, this 10-day trip to Europe this guy took cost $122,000.
Yeah.
$122,000. Look,
you could almost pay off a porn star for that.
How much I've been traveling lately. I have not spent, I am nowhere close to that kind of money, having traveled to a bazillion more places and spent a lot more traveling in 6 months. And I have not stayed in shitholes. I have stayed in some pretty good luxury hotels. So I don't understand how the fuck this guy could have spent $12,000 a day on a fucking trip to Europe. A day!
Yeah. Well, you just said he had his wife with him plus a security detail. That adds up.
Fuck!
So, we got on a tangent here. Back to security clearances. Do we have more to say about that other than it's yet another example of the clusterfuck here?
Is that they're all, I think the whole point, we didn't get off a tangent. The problem is that they're all crooked, they're all under investigation, they're all a whole bunch of weasels. That's why none of them can get any fucking security clearances.
Right.
They're all fucking crooked.
Because as soon as the FBI starts looking at them, they start racking up how many crimes they've committed. And they're like, well, what do we do with this?
Exactly.
Okay. We're speculating a little bit, obviously.
Well, maybe not, you know, maybe not crimes, but for example, like you said, compromising situations, issues right. like with, well, issues with actual crimes. Okay. Right. All right. We have those issues with actual crimes, issues with actual situations where you put yourself in a compromising situation, issues with ongoing investigations. I mean, all of this shit, it's just ridiculous.
Financial connections that put you into vulnerable positions as well. All kinds of stuff.
Correct. All that shit. Yes. I mean, fucking people.
I don't know. When all this is over, Yvonne, like 5 years down the line, we don't have Donald Trump to kick around anymore. Are we going to pass, like, part of the problem with a lot of these things are that they're people who are in the territory where it's unethical, but the legality is unclear. Are we going to pass some more fucking laws to, like, actually just explicitly say you can't do this?
You know what? I sure do hope so. And I think that it will happen. I was seeing today a news story about what happened in Washington state where you live.
Yeah.
As Democrats finally took fucking control of the state legislature. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the massive changes that have happened because of that. Okay. I think that if we make a concerted effort to not allow all these fucking state legislatures, all these fucking places where these guys have just freaking like creeped and crawled around and fucking like gotten their hands onto everything, okay, in such a slimy way to push this fucking undemocratic agenda, because it's not democratic. This agenda is about enriching a whole bunch – is a crony capitalist agenda. Not that much different from Putin's. Yes, Putin uses a lot more intimidation, violence, and a whole bunch of shit to accomplish it. But it's not different, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm done with these bozos. And we have to go and push back against this shit. And it's the reason why when people ask me, well, you know, well, we could be libertarians and everything could be free, whatever. No, because you wind up with these fucking crony assholes that wind up going and putting their tentacles everything and locking everybody out doing this kind of shit.
Yes. So just as reference, I think the tweet you were referring to was one from Taniel, T-A-N-I-E-L. Who's one of those folks out there who does a lot of political stuff. He follows elections closely. But he specifically said, he tweeted on February 15th, Washington's Senate is on fire. In past month, yes. It has passed automatic and same-day voting registration, a ban on conversion therapy, stronger protections for trans students, stronger financial disclosure rules, and today the abolition of the death penalty. And so,
that's a lot.
And it was pointed out, basically, the Washington State Senate and the House are both very closely held. Like right now, I'm looking at the state House, and it's 50 Democrats and 48 Republicans. So that's pretty darn close too. And then let's see. I guess I should look up the Senate too. I think it's also just as close. It just flipped because of this.
A special election.
So the Senate is 25 Republicans and 23 Democrats. So both of them are just barely Democratic at this point. And the Senate just flipped. And of course, we have a Democratic governor, Jay Inslee. And so Washington is one of those states that is now 100% Democratic controlled. Now, with those narrow margins, you can't afford to lose much. But they're apparently doing a bunch of stuff. And so what it shows you is that when a state is like right there on the cusp, those little legislative, you know, the race in some little legislative district can make a huge freaking difference.
Yes.
And what you're seeing in these special elections that have been going on, and we're getting far afield from the clearances now, but the Democrats have been on each one of these. There's been significant moves compared with 2016, and Democrats are winning in places where you wouldn't expect them to win. And we'll see if that continues by the time we get to November.
But the point was that when you get
what, look, yeah, you're look, back, back to the point. Yeah, whatever.
Back to the point. The point was, OK, that you talked about whether these things can change when the government changes.
Well, specifically, are we going to legislate some of this stuff that we've sort of relied on? Well, of course, people do that.
And I think that my example is that Washington State is showing the way to do that. Like right now, based on what they're doing right now, they're enabling voting rights. They're striking down crazy shit. I mean, they're pushing through an agenda to get this, you know, to get these things rectified. And I think that this can be done, and we need to do this.
Well, yeah, and elections do matter. And I think one of the things that is in the few places where nationally laws have been passed that seem stupid, some of them will be repealed or reversed in one way or another. The Senate nationally makes that hard, though. I mean, as long as neither party has 60, it's hard to do much.
The Democrats had 60 a few years ago, which is why we have the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah.
It can happen.
It can happen. But I'm saying it's a little harder, because you do need that 60 votes, and you need the Democratic president, and you need a Supreme Court who's not going to overturn things as well. So there's a lot to do there. But the particular question I had, though, is, you know, is not just reversing things that Trump administration is doing. It's the Trump administration has basically exposed all kinds of areas where we've just relied on what they call norms to keep people from misbehaving. Like, oh, we don't have to say that the president has to divest from all their stuff, because anybody who would get elected president is going to know about their conflicts of interest and be careful about that. So the law doesn't hit there. You know, a lot of there's just so many of these places where you're seeing this self-dealing and this conflict of interest where it's unclear, like maybe there's a law, but it doesn't have that many teeth, or it's unclear where, at all of these areas where it's sort of the assumption was we don't have to have a law about this because it'll never happen. And now Donald Trump and his administration are showing time after time after time that if they think they can get away with it, sometimes even if there is a law, but if they think they can get away with it, by God, they're going to do it. So yeah, maybe we need some more laws in places where previously we've thought, like, we don't have to put that into a law because it's never right. going to come up.
This was the whole thing we've talked about, norms and presidential norms. And I've seen some people that have been like actually saying that they're starting a project in order to try to codify these norms.
Right.
Okay. Into actual laws. Okay. And I think you're right. And unfortunately, this asshole has shown that we need to.
Well, as one example, I believe there are one or two states that are already considering laws. I don't know that any have already passed. But to say that to be on the presidential ballot, you have to have released your tax returns.
Correct. Yes, I had heard about that, and I haven't heard about any state passing that yet. But I certainly would be 100% in agreement with that.
Right.
As a requirement.
As a transparency sort of thing. Yeah. Debatable. Like, there's some reasons why you'd think maybe that wouldn't be necessary. But again, we've sort of relied on this, and, you know, presidential candidates didn't always release their tax returns, but it's been the norm for 40 plus years or whatever, until right. Donald Trump said, fuck that, I'm not going to do that. You know,
right.
and then proceeds to show exactly why you might want to know that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Like you could right. see maybe, you know, some other, you know, candidate saying, no, my tax returns are private, I'm not going to share it, who then was upstanding and did everything right and avoided conflicts of interest and all that kind of stuff. But Donald Trump is not that. Donald Trump flies right into all of those conflicts of interest.
He's a fucking, the ultimate weasel. No, I don't trust this guy for 1 second.
He's
on anything.
He's all about the conflict of interest. That's why he's even there.
So. He is the conflict. What did he say about conflict of interest? That he can't have any? What the hell was it? I'm the president, so I can't have
a conflict of interest.
Right, exactly.
And he was parroting the law on this, which actually carves out the president. You know, it's like there's a law on conflicts of interest in the federal government, and it does not include the president.
You know what? When Dick Cheney, okay, if Dick Cheney, who is a fucking asshole, okay. No ifs, and no buts about it. Decides to run for government, and he puts everything in a blind trust. In a real blind trust. Okay? Dick Cheney actually has more sense of ethics than any of these fuckers? That's pretty disgusting.
Okay.
And on that note,
we have once again gone far astray from clearances, other than we think, you know, part of the problem with these clearances are these conflicts of interest and these, right. you know, the things that are being investigated, everything. It's a mess. So it's not surprising that it's a mess because everything is a fucking mess in this administration. And to me, there's just a real open question. I mean, it's already happening in slow motion, but like at some point it all explodes, right? I mean, you can't. Can we do 4 years of this? I mean, I guess we can.
We probably can, but it's going to be exhausting.
So painful. So painful. Okay, let's take a break. And then what was our third topic? Oh, yeah, the budget immigration stuff. We'll do that quickly because I hear Yvonne starting to yawn. And we'll be back right
after this. I haven't yawned yet, actually.
I just heard you yawn.
No. Nope. That must... Some noise came through. But no, I have not yawned yet today.
Okay.
Normally I would have, but I would have no problem admitting if I'm about to collapse. But no, I did not yawn.
Okay.
No, you told me yawn, and now I'm going to fucking yawn.
Okay.
Begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
And we're back. It's time to talk about budget and immigration stuff. So first of all, we haven't even talked since the last government shutdown, Yvonne, because we did have another government shutdown.
And then we had another shutdown.
We talked about the first one. We've only had two. But the second one...
We had a second one,
which was... They had a deal on the table. They were ready to go. They'd worked it all out, but our favorite Senator Rand Paul decided they needed to have a mini shutdown.
Right.
And so he engaged in a number of parliamentary maneuvers that basically made it so they couldn't have the vote till after midnight. And so they ended up having the vote at like 6 a.m. or something. So the government was technically shut down from midnight to 6 a.m. or whatever it was until the president signed it.
Because he was protesting the deficit, Mr. You know, whatever, fucking moron.
Well, because he was protesting the increase to the deficit because he cares about spending, but not the deficit increased by taxes.
Yeah, I know. Because he's insane. Yes, because he's insane.
Well,
yes.
As we have
because
talked
he's a
about,
Republican.
As we have talked about before. The consistent part here is nobody actually cares about deficits. What the Republicans care about is low taxes and low spending. Whether or not the two balance or not doesn't really matter. That's just a convenient talking point when there's a deficit. We're spending more than we take in, so we have to reduce spending. But the real goal is the reducing spending, not the, you know, keep it within balance, because then if it was really about balancing, then you could solve it just as easily by raising taxes.
Right.
You know, because there are two sides of that equation.
That would make too much sense. You know? Yeah, but that would make too much sense.
Because we could solve the deficit by raising taxes. That would be a fairly substantial increase to take all at once, but we could do it. Nobody really cares about the deficits. And the proof of this is, first of all, the tax bill passed, which, you know, blew a hole in the deficit. But then this bipartisan agreement that actually went through raised spending on like everything.
That is correct.
And
by a lot.
And so on top
on of everything. On yeah, everything.
Pretty much, yes. So on top of the tax cuts that already increased the deficit, we added a lot of spending, which increased it even more. Now people, you know, I've seen a lot of argument about this in terms of, you know, hey, the deficit spending is good in certain financial situations because you want to stimulate the economy and it's worth taking the deficit hit because the economy needs the extra stimulus. If you pour that money back into the economy and kickstart things, et cetera, and looking at the ratio of, with GDP and blah, 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 and all kinds of things of when is deficit spending okay? When should you refrain from it, et cetera? And basically, all of those arguments seem to say, you know, deficit spending, like in the 2008-2009 financial crisis, was probably actually very necessary to pull us out of that quickly and et cetera, to avoid a major catastrophe. But deficit spending now, well, we were going to deficit spend no matter what, but a big boost to how much deficit spending we're doing right now makes no sense whatsoever because unemployment is already low, interest rates are low.
Well, it could turn to be very inflationary is the big problem, okay? And we've already seen an uptick in inflation. And the one argument is some said, well, we're not back to total employment. We haven't reached this number and that number. But the problem is that look, the economy is not a ship that reacts like, you know, you do one change and it just happens immediately. The things that you do now, which is why it's so difficult to be a Fed chairman or any of these, you know, a position like that, the actions that you take right now will take 18 months, 24 months, 36 months to take effect. They just don't move something like immediately. And sometimes the problem is that you may be behind a curve or, instead of ahead of a curve. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the discussions about what happened in 2008 was, you know, the Greenspan himself admits that he said, you know what, I left the punch bowl out there for way too damn long. Okay, all right, and that didn't help the whole situation. should have started raising rates a lot sooner, because the indicators were already heading up. And what we did is that the indicators were heading up, and we delayed because of what happened to September 11th, the war. There were so many things that employment wasn't going up, even though a whole bunch of indicators were going up. And we just left that out there. And then they tried to raise the rates later. It was way too late. And that contributed significantly to the financial crisis to a certain extent. I don't think it was the main cause, but it definitely contributed to it. So you've got the situation right now where all the indicators in the economy have been trending and moving upward and have been doing that for the last, I don't know how many damn years, okay? And at the beginning of – in 2016 and 2017, wages had started to go up. All these wages, employment, the quality of the employment, participation rate, but especially the part about the wages, it started moving up. And so you go at this moment right now where all those indicators are already going up and we already – did a freaking massive tax increase, which is already a big chunk of money into the economy. A tax cut that, you know, we already threw a whole bunch of money into the fucking economy. Then we throw all of this fucking extra money in the economy. You could create a significant risk for inflation, because in order to do this, aside from the fact that you're overheating, you may overheat the economy in one end, you're issuing a ton of debt to do this damn thing. And debt is inflationary. And that's the reason why people say deficit don't matter. They don't matter to a certain extent, as long as they stay within a certain range of what the percentage of gross domestic product is on an annual basis. And the economy's growing. Once they start getting out of a certain number, it's a problem. The other problem is that if we get to a downturn right now, we're going to start our, you know, and we need to do a stimulus. We're starting from a fucking hole. It's going to make it a lot worse. And oh, by the way, all this fucking party of giving away money with this and that did nothing to try to figure out anything about the issue we've got with Social Security and Medicare. Not one fucking thing. All they just did is they just went in a fucking they just took a tub of money. They just fucking spent it like they were drunk in South Beach, had a huge fucking money party, and they all just left. And that's it. Right. And I'm just like, what the fuck are you all doing?
They're spending money.
Yeah.
Well, and this is, you know, aside from Rand Paul, you know, the other quote unquote small government conservatives, for the most part, you know, there were a few objectors. Yeah, this was, again, one of these things that had a lot of Democrats, a lot of Republicans, but people on the extremes were not on board. But a lot of the hypocrisy is just so blatant.
Oh, it's just so, you know, blatant.
Because
it's just
the same people who would be having a conniption fit if Obama tried to pass the exact same bill, you know?
Oh my God. These people spent the fucking entire Obama administration saying how irresponsible he's being with the deficits, how he's driving us into debt and bankrupting us, blah, 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 blah.
And wasteful spending
every motherfucking day. And what do they do when they get into power?
Well, and to some degree, there's just a question of, you know, it's not that they really care about how much is being spent. It's that they want to spend it on their stuff instead of the other guy's stuff.
But well, yeah, but what I'm saying about this is forget about what they're spending it. They didn't really even change what they're spending it on that much, really. Come on. Look, the big categories are Social Security, Medicare. For some reason, we're doing a massive defense buildup. Are we going to war against something and I don't know about this?
Oh, that's next week.
Okay. So that's where the big money items are going. I mean, I don't know. Just fucking ridiculous idiots.
Okay, so with all of the spending stuff that we were talking about, the whole thing here was the Democrats had held up the spending because they wanted to have a DACA fix and the immigration and
right.
All this conversation. And the deal at the end of the first of the two shutdowns was, you know, hey, let's let the government start working again. And as long as when this next one runs out, we're not shutting down the government again, we'll promise you that we'll have an open debate on the immigration issues and see what happens. And the Democrats were like, okay, we'll take that deal. So we got there, we went through the budget process stuff, and this was not just kicking the can down a couple weeks, right? This is like a 2-year deal or something.
Yes, this is a 2-year deal, is my understanding.
There,
yes,
there are a few. Correct. There are a few appropriation bill things coming.
There are
up,
certain like, things, appropriation bills and the debt ceiling too that they got up.
Oh, I thought this actually did the debt ceiling
too. I can't remember if they did, because I heard that they needed to do a big debt ceiling increase, you know, because our deficit's going through the roof.
I thought Michael that was Vaney included in this, that. But maybe not.
It may have been. It may have been.
But in any case, they have a few cleanup things to do, but nothing that anybody seems really all that worried about. They've taken this off the table for the next 2 years, and now we've had this week, we've had some immigration talk, we've had some votes on some immigration bills. None have passed yet through the Senate, let alone the House. Now, I guess they're still working on it. But at this point, Yvonne, do you think the Democrats took the right approach to all this stuff? Are we in?
Well, listen, I still don't know if this whole immigration thing is done, is the reason I'm saying. Look, three bills were presented.
Four.
I think was the summary. Four? Okay, yeah. Four. They look like they moved the needle a little bit to try to a compromise, but honestly, the one that was sold as a bipartisan compromise, from my perspective, given what Trump was asking for and what was offered as changes to immigration law, was very small. They really gave him nothing on that respect.
So the four bills, just for reference when we're talking about them, the first one was the McCain-Coons bill, which all it did was DACA plus border funding.
Correct.
And that one got 52 to 47. So above 50, yep. But not at the 60 needed to overcome a filibuster.
Right.
Next bill was a Toomey bill, which did not address DACA at all, but all it did was penalize sanctuary cities. And it won 54 to 45. Which, again, is above 50, but below 60, so it doesn't go anywhere. Then there was the Rounds-King bill. That was the bipartisan bill that that had been worked on by a number of senators on both sides. That failed 54-45 as well. And then the final one was the Grassley bill, which was basically Trump's proposal, the four-pointed bill, the 4 points that he came out before, which would extend DACA protections and plus border wall, plus chain immigration, plus whatever the other one was. Doesn't matter. It only got 39 votes, 39 to 60.
Yeah, I know. That one failed miserably. Yeah, that wasn't even close.
So those are the four we had. Now, I have heard multiple things here. Like, I've heard some folks say, okay, well, those were our best shots. We're done. But then I have heard that there are some senators who are like, hey, that 54 to 45 was not that bad. We only need six
That's
more.
That's what I thought.
We only need six more votes. We're going to go back and work on it some more.
And that's what I thought. I mean, I thought if you're at 54 votes, I mean, that's not that bad. I figured they could go back and say, okay, all right, we're at 54. What do we need to do to get closer? Okay.
So here
they offered, like I said, very little on that bill. They offered very little in terms of actual immigration reform.
So here are the two things on that. One is I've heard a number of folks reporting that they just actually don't see any urgency around this March deadline for DACA, because at the moment the courts have held it up. So absent further court decisions, the March deadline isn't real because the courts have basically blocked it while it goes through the appeals process.
Right.
So there's no feeling of urgency. There's no feeling that they really, really do have to deal with this right now. Second is that 5445 bill. The Trump administration basically outright made a veto threat on it in its current form. Now, I found it interesting. It was the statement that came from the White House was not the president will veto this. And we're talking about parsing lawyerly language again. It was not the president will veto this. It was the president's staff will recommend that he veto it.
Right. Which who the hell knows with this president?
Which, I mean, knowing Donald Trump. Well, also, this seems to be an...
I gotta win! Wait, I gotta win! Let me sign it!
Exactly. This seems to be an area where the president is actually not on the same page as his staff. His staff is much harder line on immigration reduction that Donald Trump himself is. So it is a possible area where his staff recommending it might not result in a veto.
This president and his staff are not on the same page very often. Let's be clear about this. Okay, right? That's just, you know, not exactly a, you know.
Right. And so, yeah, so, but you were saying that they got the 54 without actually offering a lot to the conservatives.
That's my thought.
In terms of immigration reduction. So you think they'll be able to sweeten the pot a little bit and get a few more votes?
I thought that they could really just put some stuff in there that could satisfy some of their demands.
Now, do you think they could do that without the Democratic base throwing a huge hissy fit about it?
I think you can. Because there's a couple of wins here to a certain extent. You got this funding that I know that I talked about the inflation implications right now, but I realize that the reason the Democrats took the frickin' money deal was because right now, if they don't, it really puts a big hamper on Democratic priorities. So I don't think they felt they had a choice. Look, we can't, you know, even though these people are exploding the deficit, we can't just let these priorities go by the wayside. Okay. So they bit the bullet and they took that. Okay. So you've got that there. I think that.
Sorry. I know this is a tangent, but you said that the Democrats were sort of let them get away with increasing the deficit like that. The thing is, the Democrats are going to want to spend their money when they're in power too. So they can't go too hard against spending money.
No, but the thing is, it was in the priorities. They couldn't listen. The deal that they cut was, you guys want to increase these things that you like. We need to keep money for these things that we want and expand them. Let's make a deal and do it. Okay, yeah. Because that's the thing. Because otherwise, I mean, the Republicans kept proposing to take all Democratic priorities and slash and burn them.
Right. Well, and Trump put out a budget proposal, which is, as usual, the presidential budget proposals are dead on arrival. But the proposal they put out was cut everything. Everything's gone. Everything. Basically.
Right. So. It's all gone.
Exactly. Sorry. Go ahead. I derailed your point. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So you've got that victory on that on that perspective in terms of the base priorities. I do think that there are things that you can do to change how legal migration happens that can be done that give these guys something of what they're looking for and are not a negative to the Democratic base. Because our immigration system doesn't make fucking sense anyway now.
There are all sorts of improvements I'm sure you could make, because you're right. It's stupid and doesn't make sense. But fundamentally, what the immigration hardliners in the Trump administration want are less brown people.
Yes, but I think that because, remember, that we're trying to get – that's what the hardliners there in the White House. But what we're trying to get is a win in the Senate, right?
Right.
That they could probably, since I think that the Senate is more reasonable in part than they are, that they may be able to cobble something that is not that. That idiot Presidente can go and just take us a win.
Well, you're skipping over the House, too. You have to get something through the House as well, which is more aligned with the president.
That if they could get I keep thinking that if they could get I for some reason at this point, I know it's happened before that the Senate passed a bill before and the House didn't do it.
Yeah.
But given that the capitulation that the House did recently on spending, right, where you had all these, what do they call them, the Freedom Caucus, the whatever, yeah, the fuck people.
Yeah, they basically couldn't stop it.
Wow, they just did nothing. Let this through. So I'm thinking that they become now a non-factor again.
Huh. So,
I mean, usually the type of fiscal deal that just got negotiated wound up being derailed by those guys in the House. That's why John Boehner isn't here anymore. Okay?
So prediction time, is there going to be an immigration deal?
Oh, fuck.
Or are we going to start deporting DACA folks?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I say yes. Here's my out on the limb prediction. I will say that even if the Senate does something, and I don't give that higher than 50-50 odds, but even if the Senate does something, it'll go down in flames in the House. But before a large number of DACA-type folks actually start getting deported, Trump will reverse his executive order, or at least extend it further. We will get to the deadline, and he'll say, "Bad Congress, you haven't done what I've told you to, but I'm going to kick it down the road 6 months."
I could believe that will happen. I mean, that's another outcome. I could see. Yeah, that's another possible outcome. Yes.
And with that, I think we've finished the show.
Yay!
Oh, so time for all the usual stuff. If you like the show... Oh, Alex is here. Are you going to help with this closing part? If you really like the show, go to... Go to Facebook.com.
And
repeat after me. If you really like the show.
If you really like the show.
Go to Facebook.com.
Go to Facebook.com.
/ Curmudgeon's Corner.
And go to a podcast.
No.
And dislike the podcast.
No, not dislike it.
And give.
No, you like it. Like
podcast
it.
Podcast 0 stars.
No, you review it and give us lots of stars.
And you say mean things.
Uh-huh.
Like, stop Curmudgeon's Corner, it's horrible.
Yes.
I hate the things you're selling.
We're not selling anything.
We're not selling anything!
I hate the mugs you've been making.
You can get a mug. Patreon.com/Curmudgeon's Corner.
You're selling it. You're selling the mug.
We're giving the mug to people who support us by donating to us at Patreon. Patreon.com/curmudgeons corner.
That means you're selling the mug.
Well, sort of. But
and
yes.
Be really mean to Dad.
Oh, thank you.
And
anyway,
make sure you shoot an arrow in Yvonne Bo's face because it's a bow.
No.
But we need the arrow part of a bow.
Yes.
You need the arrow to use a bow, so why don't you just shoot an arrow in his face?
Anyway, Facebook.com/...
No, don't! Don't listen to him! Don't listen to him! Don't listen to him!
Like us...
Do not support the Curmudgeon's Corner!
Leave comments...
Leave me! No! Yes!
Leave comments! Tell us what you think.
Leave comments! And if tell that! And we hate you! We hate you!
I think you all got the picture.
You got
Thank
the picture.
You.
Thank
no, you don't!
Have
bye
a good
bye.
Week. We'll see you
no,
next
you
time.
Don't.
Goodbye!
No.
Hey, is anybody still there?
This is Sam again. As an extra bonus for you guys, sort of to make up for the fact that we didn't get to talk about the new Mueller indictments because we recorded it before that happened, here is just a little bit of a certain person's opinion on the length of Curmudgeon's Corner, which we've talked about a little bit. Should we be longer, shorter, whatever? We got an additional comment on this that was originally edited out of the third segment of this show. Enjoy.
You know, all of this, you know, the reason that they might not
done
have...
Done yet?
No, hold on.
How close to done?
Maybe halfway.
Halfway, no.
Dude.
Can you make this one shorter?
Oh, we have been making them shorter, but I'm still only about halfway.
No, make them even shorter. Make them hour long.
Hold on.
An hour long is longer than you need.
No.
20 minutes is enough.
Okay, do I
need... Because he saved that for my videos, so that means 20 minutes is enough for your podcast.
Oh, yeah. You might have a point. But we have an agenda here to finish up.
So that means every single one of my videos are going to be 2 hours long.
Okay.
If you continue to have 2 hour long... podcasts.
Right.
Have 20 minute long podcasts because I have a good point and I make sense because of videos. You want my videos to be 20 minutes long. That means your podcasts should be 20 minutes long as well.
Okay. What?
I'm correct.
What do I have to do to set you up so that you're not on top of me and I can continue?
Foodie.
Okay, hold on just a second, Yvonne. I'm going to shove some food into his mouth.
And no, don't right do that! And video-y.
Yeah, okay. Come on. Be right back.
Be right back. Be right back. I just recorded two videos on...